All right, well, today we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You want to open up your Bibles there. We're going to read a fairly lengthy passage of Scripture today because you can't really go through 1 Corinthians 12 without doing 13 to 14 as well. And we will be looking at Romans 12, Ephesians 4. There's a number of places that we have to go to if we're going to actually get the big picture on this. Now, this is probably going to take a couple of Sundays, not just one today, because not only do we need to look at what the spiritual gifts are, try to maybe clear some things up, but we need to get to the bigger picture of what the spiritual gifts are for. Paul spends far more time in writing describing what they're for and the purpose of them and what we should be seeking of them than he does of the particular gifts themselves. And there's a reason for that. Okay? So we're going to get started, but let's open up in a word of prayer first. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together today, to be a body of believers, to worship, to fellowship, to hear your word read and taught, and we just pray that you would give guidance and direction both to the hearer as well as to the speaker this morning. We pray that you would give me wisdom and discernment and guidance and direction, that I do a good job of dividing your word as is required from your word. We also pray that we would be a people that hear what is said and doers of your word, as the book of James describes. And Lord, we thank you so much for it, and we just pray that you would give us guidance and direction in it. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to go ahead and read 12, 13, and 14. It's a chunk, I know, but hopefully you will see as we read why it is supposed to be all taken together, okay? As so many of the letters are, these are to be read in one piece. So, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray into mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but it's many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of help, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I am nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not profound. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not eagerly angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening and encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, I come to you and speak in tongues. What good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation of knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since you do not know what you're saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil. Be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin, are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation? Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak at one time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. If a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Or did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they will themselves be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but in everything it should be done in a fitting and orderly manner. Okay, so now we have also a big picture of the spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, I know that there are some things that I just read here this morning that are sticking in your neck so hard that you probably can't hardly hear the rest of what I'm going to say. So I'm going to ask you, please, put them aside and look at the big picture. Look at what was actually said. Because I know how it is. Yep, my mind is off now because you read something that ticks me off. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't write that. If you have a problem with this, take it up with him, okay? Not me. There's going to be some things that I cannot explain, and I'm going to tell you I can't. You need to be okay with that, okay? So let's just move on to what the bigger picture looks like. First of all, spiritual gifts. What are they? What's the list? Somebody tell me, please. And is this the only place they're found? Are the lists different? Sure they are. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Let's just back up just a little bit. Romans chapter 12. What's interesting, though, is Romans 12 is very close to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, only it's just a lot shorter. Starting in verse 3, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not, I love the way he starts this out, because honestly, this is exactly where we need to be in relation to what spiritual gifts are and how they are exercised, okay? He says, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgments and according with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belonging to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it is, depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All in the same context with the spiritual gifts. So, is that the only other place there is? Well, you can go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at that. All of these situations, every single time we look at this, what is the common denominator? Well, that is true. That is true. It is a gift. There you go. There you go. No matter what, in every situation, it is to be used to edify the church as part of a body. He says it in Romans 12, but he also goes into great length in 1 Corinthians about the body and what it is. And I mean, he goes into great detail. He starts talking about, well, is everybody a head? Is everybody an ear? Is everybody an eye? You know, of course not. You ever thought about your own physical body? Which one of the parts of your body would you like to do without? Anybody? Which one would you just like, meh, done? How about eyesight? Anybody? How about your thumb? How about your big toe? I mean, I think every one of us here would just assume that every single part that we had on our body actually functioned like it was supposed to function. It makes life so much easier, doesn't it? I mean, intestinal distress? Oh, just get rid of them. They're causing me a problem. You function like they were supposed to function, right? This is how we need to approach the church. Every single one of us, if that are saved, that have received the Spirit because we are saved, have been gifted by God to function within the church. Did you know that? Now, whose job is it to determine what your gift is? Whose job is that? Is that mine? I get to run around and say, this is your gift, Matt? No? How are you going to know what your gift is? Unless somebody tells you. Huh? Anybody? Okay, can be. I mean, if you enjoy criticizing people, I think we got a problem there, but that's okay. Yeah, Louise. Can be. Could be. Correct, it's not. First of all, if somebody does come to you and say, hey, there's an opportunity here and I was thinking of you. They don't necessarily say, I see that you have the gift of giving, so therefore I have a need and you should give to me. That is not what I mean, okay? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? Just in case you were, you know, kind of running that direction. But I'll give you an example. Okay, when I was, and I'm just going to use myself. When I was a young man, I was teaching, you know, kids, little kids. I was a Sunday school teacher, and I started doing some youth stuff with some of the youth kids. And how did I get started doing that? Oh, I have brothers and sisters, yes, but I actually had somebody walk up to me and say, hey, you know, they had this hole that needed to be filled, a Sunday school teacher, and they walk up and they say, hey, do you want to teach Sunday school? That was my initial response, no. And so then, you know, the word got out, well, maybe you should. Maybe that's God's way of asking you if you should. Okay. I felt guilty. So I did it. And then I found out it wasn't quite so bad. And then I moved from one grade to the next grade to the next grade. And then Steve Bradbury comes up to me one day and says, hey, I got this idea. I said, what's that? He goes, I would like you to teach the adult class and trade with me every 3 months. What's my initial response? No. Absolutely not. Big people scare me. Not doing it. Have you seen those people that are in there? They have way more knowledge than I do. Forget that. I'm not doing that. Steve's like, oh, it's okay. Just get yourself some curriculum. It's all fine. So what happens? The word gets out. I've been asked. Especially my mother says, well, you're never going to know unless you do it. Maybe this is what God wants you to do. You see? So I say, okay, scared to death, I do it. This 3 month on, 3 month off thing, that lasted for 6 months. Then it went 6 months on, 6 months off. That lasted for another 6 months. Then it was 1 year on, 1 year off, and then this was done. Steve decided, well, I'm going to retire. I'm going to spend half my time in Florida, so therefore it's yours, buddy. And here I am. So, sometimes your gift is something that you find yourself doing that you may not have loved. You may not have had like a desire necessarily to do. God just exposed you to it and showed you that he knew more about you than you do. That's sometimes how it works. Sometimes stepping forward in faith to fill a shoe will expose what your gift is. Understand? Because every single one of us has been given a gift of faith, or you wouldn't be a believer. And within that faith, you have learned throughout time to trust the one who resides in you, the Holy Spirit, to guide you and to direct you. You know, sometimes that little thing in your head that says, shut your mouth, because what you're about to say, I don't want you to say, just shut up. You know that? Anybody here ever had that? That's called the Holy Spirit. You need to listen, because sometimes he just wants you to shut up. But you know what? Sometimes he wants you to speak up. And those two things can be equally as difficult to do. Sometimes you find yourself just really having to clamp those shut so you don't say something. And sometimes it's like somebody has to take a crowbar and stick it in your mouth to open your jaw so that you will say something that you know you're supposed to say. Listening to the Holy Spirit is a practice that you do. He's not going to just suddenly walk up and say, Clayton, I have gifted you with the gift of preaching, prophesying. Get up and do it. I'll challenge you. That's just not how it works. I happen to know for a fact that's not how it works. But if somebody walked up to Clayton and said, hey, I got this thing, I'd kind of like you to see if you're interested in it. And maybe if you're not, think about it, pray about it. It's amazing what happens when you start praying about something. I mean, if you're going to tell somebody you'll pray about it, then do it. And you start praying about it, and pretty soon it's like the Holy Spirit kind of goes, you know, it really isn't as bad as you might think. It'll be all right because I'm with you. It's okay. And you step forward with this little thing. And the next thing you know, it becomes a bigger thing and a bigger thing and a bigger thing. But sometimes it is a desire that has been laid on your heart. Sometimes it is one of those things where somebody puts forth, and it could be a financial need. We'll talk about the area of giving for a second. Somebody puts forth a financial need that somebody has. It's within your power to fulfill it, or at least a chunk of it. And the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. Okay? And you, if you're listening, will give. Now, at this point, it's up to you. Are you going to be the one with the widow's mite? Or are you going to be Ananias and Sapphira? So whether it's giving, whether it's teaching, Scripture calls some of that prophesying, whether that is any of these other gifts that are laid out, when we read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the thing you should have picked up on that really should have been like overwhelming is, number one, if it is not done out of love, it's worthless. It's just an exercise in the flesh, and it's worthless. It's just a bunch of work. And you will feel like it's a bunch of work. Okay? Number two, if what you're doing is doesn't have the intent to build up the church, the body of believers in which you are in, then what else, what are you doing? Huh? You're in the flesh again, aren't you? You're building yourself up. None of these gifts does the Holy Spirit intend for you to use for your own personal edification at all. They are to be done to build up the church. And that means yourself too. It does. But it also means that you should be, according to Romans 12, thinking of others first. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought. Making sure that we have a proper place to it. We are serving someone else by the gift that we do. I mean, if that's not what we're doing, then we're just serving ourselves. We're certainly not serving Him, are we? There's no way you could be serving Him if you're not serving His people. How does it end in Romans 12? If He is hungry, if He is thirsty, you understand? It's the other, seeking the others, looking at the needs of others. That is the point that God has when He gives you a spiritual gift. We must function. In other words, I'll put it to you this way. If your big toe decided that it was no longer going to listen to the brain and put the force down to keep you standing up, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to get real tough for you to walk or run around. You're going to be very limited. You might actually fall down. You might break your nose. Who knows? The body ceases to function like it's supposed to if these parts have a mind of their own. The difference between your body and the body of Christ is your toes don't have a brain, neither do your fingers. But in the body of Christ, we all have brains. And we all are sinners saved by grace. And we all have to learn to follow the head. That's exactly why we are given those things in Ephesians, to understand the hierarchy of it. And as long as we listen to the head, which is Christ, and we do what He says with our spiritual gifts, the body functions like it's supposed to. Kind of a weird concept, isn't it? Just think of it in your own body. If your lungs just decided, that's it, I'm doing my own thing, it might be a little difficult for you. None of us should be just operating on our own in the church for our own pleasure, according to what we read here. Now, He does give us a list of spiritual gifts. He does. And we get a list in Romans chapter 12, and we get some other lists in Ephesians 4. And some of these are similar and some of these are not. Some of these Paul really takes to task, like he did in 1 Corinthians. You notice that he spends a lot of time on one in particular in 1 Corinthians. What is that one? Tongues. Why do you suppose he spends so much time on that? It is easy to fabricate. And as such, it's like the number one is abused. He makes some things in here very clear about these spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, so we're going to start attempting at this point to start breaking down some of these spiritual gifts. As we see them, what is one of the very things that come up? I'm not asking the one that's sticking in your neck. I'm asking for the one that first comes up. What are some of the ones that first come up? What are the ones that you see that Paul is saying kind of rises to the top? Teaching, preaching, there's another word for it. Prophecy. Now, we all have this goofy, weird, emotional feeling when somebody talks about in modern day about prophesying. Why is that? It makes us feel all weird. Why? Because we think what it means is it's foretelling the future events. Why do we feel that way? Well, it was part of what it was. Guys, remember what was the hallmark, I guess, of a prophet, an actual godly prophet? What was the requirement of that prophet? Okay. You hear what Tom just said? It must be what? True. It must be true. Whether it is talking about prophetic timing or whether it is talking about saying, thus says God, both of those are accurate. Because the only one who really knows what future events are is who? And if you're going to claim to be a prophet and you're going to claim, thus says God, then you better expect it to be true, right? Because if you're speaking for him, say what is true. Prophesying is not just the future events. It is thus says God. No, I didn't say that. Let's not jump. I didn't say that. Hold on. We got to be careful with words. And the reason I say that is because what I think I heard you say and what you might be saying might be two different things. Did I audibly hear him say? No. Did I hear him say from here? Yes. This has to be our authority, isn't it? Because it is the written word. This is what we have. This is God has spoken to us. Scripture tells us that. Okay? So this is where we are at today. Let me ask you, what did Moses have from here? Be careful how you answer the question. What did Moses have from here? Huh? Well, when he first started, he didn't have any of it. Oral traditions. And as he got direct revelation from God, what did he do with it? He wrote it down. Something you cannot forget. It's why it's in the New Testament that said, as the prophets were led along, they wrote down, kind of in their own style, but it was by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, they didn't have the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have that. You do. But they didn't. They wrote them down. You know what they had? They had the writings of the prophets and of Moses. and they had the teaching of Jesus that was given to them, reminding them by whom? John says that he will come to remind you of all the things that I said and did. And they wrote them down. Let's use our brain. This was written down not for Matthew's benefit, not for Mark's benefit, not for Luke's benefit. They were written for our benefit, that we might know who Christ is, that we might know what our salvation is, we might know what our sin is, that we might understand salvation. And as such, he has given us the Holy Spirit as a seal, that all of the dark worlds out there can see exactly who you belong to. Do you know that? Satan and his demons, they know exactly who you belong to. They can see it. You're sealed. But as such also, he says you have to function here on this earth right now. And as such, your testimony and everything is about me, and you need to operate in such a way that you bring glory to me, and I'm going to gift you to do so. And he starts to distribute gifts as he sees fit, Scripture says. Not as we see fit, as he sees fit. And as we start going through these, prophecy, thus says the Lord, what we have is not new revelation. We have the revelation. We have the Scriptures. We have them in written word. And when we are to find out what the truth is, what does John 17 say? Your word, this is Jesus, by the way, speaking. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification, or set apart. Holiness, if you want to know how to operate within your gift, right there. Prophesying is, this is what Scripture says. And then what is our responsibility? Follow it. Amen? Told you it was going to take a couple Sundays. We haven't even started on the gifts yet. We just got started. But at least we have some understanding of the parameters within it, right? They're to be operated within the church just like the rest of your body does. Okay? All right, let's close in prayer.